Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No advice.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. It's all go here in the WrestleTalk office. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Busy boy, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you, busy boy?
I've been a busy boy.
Yeah, I've been a busy boy.
I've hardly been in the office, but I'm absolutely exhausted. Had to do some fun filming. Fun in air quotes. What I actually mean is embarrassing and humiliating. Very tiring.
I saw only a slight bit of it, and you looked tired.
Well, everyone will know what I'm talking about next Wednesday, and, you know, hopefully by tomorrow, everyone will know the other thing that's just popped up.
Yeah, and, like, within the last hour popped up of us recording this.
It's kind of hard to focus on anything else, if I'm honest.
Well, let's try...
All good things in a bad way. No. A bad situation's created some good things, potentially.
Life gave us lemons, and we're now going to make some lemonade. I nearly said something else for a second then. I nearly said what I said in the office, but realised I shouldn't say what we said in the office, because that would give the game away.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so what? Let's focus up. Let's get into AEW, because Ollie thinks that they might have botched...
Oh, damn it.
...War Games.
Love the way you phrase it.
Here is the show.
It's been really well promoted. Well, not well promoted. It's been hyped up, I would argue. This was first announced at AEW Revolution, where they said, you know, that we've got blood and guts coming.
Hmm.
And they ran the video package, and it's like, oh, no, that's War Games. But they're not calling it that. WWE own the rights to the name War Games. So they're calling it Blood and Guts, which is a reference to Vince McMahon calling AEW a blood and guts promotion at last summer's investors call. And that was a big announcement. I was like, holy moly, that's wicked. Announce it on a pay-per-view. What a newsworthy show. Cannot wait for these big segments to build to this essentially pay-per-view level TV episode on March 25th, if it even happens.
Yes.
Although that's quite a good quarantine area.
Also, we did muck up the start of that. I think YouTube just pushed us live automatically rather than me doing it manually.
We're still trying to figure out our new streaming software, but the audio should be fine. And what we've had in the two episodes since Revolution has been a tweet and a graphic.
Yeah. And that is where some of this doesn't quite... Well, yeah, it's sad because I don't want to be like, oh, you know, some people have been in the chats being like, I think you've been a bit harsh on that. Have they really botched it? Have they really done this? This match between the Inner Circle and the Elite feels like it should have had a lot more in it, as opposed to, as you say, they just announced it as a tweet on Sunday night on the same, you know, kind of competing up against Elimination Chamber, just being like, hey, this match is happening. Here are the participants. And then... hey, here are the rules. It's just a sort of slideshow of rules. And, you know, they did some stuff on this show to build to that. I liked the fact that the Cody match finished in a submission to put over the fact that, you know, this is, it's by submission or surrender only. But they did build this episode being like, you're going to find out the rules of this match. And really what that was, you know, in the towards the end of the show, they had two slides up saying, like, here are the rules. And the commentators were telling you the rules throughout. There was no cool video package. There was no announcement of it. It was just, here are the rules. These are the people that are in it. And they didn't even really have that. They were just like, and, you know, we're going to tell you that these people are fighting inside Blood and Guts, but there's no real reason for it outside of that we've been building this since the start of Dynamite's era.
It was a Drew Gulak PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. And it's War Games.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I think back to that the original William Regal announcement of, we're going to do this in War Games! And the crowd go nuts.
Awesome!
And, yeah, it makes it feel like a big deal. There's a reason for there's a reason to have this match, as opposed to these two factions have been feuding since Dynamite started, you know.
The Inner Circle formed, yeah.
So we've been doing this for 5-6 months. So, you know, that has been a long-term build to get to this match. So it kind of sucks then that the match was just announced on Twitter.
Yeah, and think of all the dramatic potential that you could have had in-ring segments for. So when they announce, sure, Revolution, I don't mind that announcement, we're going to have Blood and Guts, because you can't say War Games on TV. So when they say, we're challenging you to a Blood and Guts match, everyone's going to go, what? you wouldn't get that William Regal pop. So it's actually quite smart to announce, here's what Blood and Guts is, you know, you know the rest, ... But then don't continue to make the really dramatic moments of this feud just throwaway, not ad-libs, but, you know, promotional bits. That tweet that went out on Sunday that said that this Blood and Guts match is going to be the Elite versus the Inner Circle, that should be a main event closing thing, yeah, where they're all brawling and they get pulled apart, and then Cody or Paige, maybe, I don't know, someone on the Elite side, I guess, is like, well, we challenge you to Blood and Guts. There's five of us, there's five of you. It's predictable, but it'll be a really fun TV moment, as opposed to, here's a tweet.
The crowd can react to it.
Yeah. And then the following week, on this week's episode, the rules. Like, there's so much material there and potential where Jericho should be saying, no, we want to change this rule. Or all right, you can have this if we get to go in first.
Yeah.
There should be a lot of jockeying around that. But they instead took the route, I guess more of a sports-based route, where they did this through the matches. Like you said, Cody faced Ortiz.
Yep.
At the start. Really good match. And it ended, yeah, with Cody tapping out Ortiz
with
in the
figure four.
Yeah, thanks to Arn Anderson's secret clipboard. His secret color-coded clipboard. I really want to see how he organizes those notes.
I am convinced it's the running order of the show.
He's going over.
Exactly. I was just waiting for someone. I'm not hoping, but I thought I was going to log into Twitter today and see, like, yeah, everyone's enhanced this image and it's just the running order of the show.
And then, yeah, the main event was Hangman Page and a mystery partner taking on the Inner Circle of Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, which again gave you a big brawl at the end where the Inner Circle stood tall.
2 weeks running.
Really good spot where Page is sort of running wild, but then the Inner Circle beat him down. Cody's beat him down.
Matt Jackson comes out later. Yeah,
Cody,
so Kenny Omega. Again, putting over, it's all about the numbers game inside of Blood and Guts War Games, which is the babyfaces will find themselves at a 2-on-1 disadvantage.
And that's a smart move because Nick Jackson was written off TV, for this episode at least, after that first match where it cuts after Cody wins, cuts backstage, Jericho, Hager and Sammy have Nick Jackson underneath the steel shutter, which is really, like, I did love that because one of the images burnt into my childhood is Chris Benoit dropping the steel shutter on Chris Jericho in that fantastic Intercontinental title feud. And Nick's there, he's bleeding from the mouth, he's not moving, it's all good like that. And then Nick is rushed off to hospital, played super realistically, Dustin is in there just because they're friends, Brandy and Cody drive off with the ambulance.
Yeah.
All really good. But what happens is, Paige is taken up to the ramp, he's They tease the shield bomb again, but then Matt Jackson makes a save, a mirror from last week when Paige saved Matt, and then Matt gives him the middle finger.
I loved this. This was hands down my favorite thing on the show.
That was excellent. Really, really cool, because it's like that tension dynamic in the Elite itself is really, really interesting. And it's because Matt turned his back on the Inner Circle that Jericho could hit Matt with a chair.
Exactly. The Elite actually got the upper hand with Matt running in to make the save. And, you know, they were together. Matt made the save. But his overriding emotions and his current hatred of Hangman Page cost them that match. So as much as you could say that they've botched the announcement of this match, I would certainly say they've actually done an excellent job of telling you the story of this match and how through wrestling and not through, you know, commentary being like, they are doing this because of this. Through actions, they have told you this is the drama of the match. And I think actually that was really, really clever.
I agree. And it has been very good. What my problem is here is, you know, number one, I've already said it, and that is wasting dramatic potential in tweets or graphics when those should be segments between the wrestlers, especially with the acting capability of these, you know, a lot of these 10 guys. But it's also, it's stupid for us to sort of accuse someone of being clickbait at this stage. But they're, you know, they have the announcement on Twitter. They say that there's going to, you know, you want to tune in next week because we're going to show you the rules. Mm. I'm like, oh, I'm actually quite interested in that. And then it's like just these two screenshots of rules.
Yeah.
But the other thing was, the other huge part of me being excited for this episode was Hangman Page's mystery partner for the main event. It was Hangman Page and Vacant taking on Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho. But the show opens with the Young Bucks saying, you know, who is it? And Page is like, well, it's neither of you, dickheads.
Yeah. Yep.
And
walks off. It's going to be a mystery.
And what happens at the end is Dustin Rhodes comes out and he's like, he cuts a really good promo actually to Lexi, saying, after what they did to Nick, I need to be in there because we need to kick their ass.
Yeah, I'm going to tag with you whether you like it or not.
So what was Page's...
I'm guessing Page's plan was, like, he hadn't picked out a plan. He figured that AEW had picked out a partner for him, or the Elite had picked out a partner for him.
Really?
Well, that's what I figured, because they say, like, he hasn't talked to anyone all day. You know, he hasn't been talking to Dustin all day. And, like, his... And this is... I know exactly what you're going to say here. His tweet over the weekend was where, like, he retweeted the image of him with Vacant and in the Blood and Guts match for F's sake.
FFS, yeah.
Yeah, FFS. For being like, I'm being booked in these matches, I don't even know what's going on anymore. So I think in this sort of the kayfabe world, Paige went out there being like, I don't know who my partner is. I haven't picked one because I didn't get a chance to choose one. I was just given a partner.
But it just doesn't make sense to me.
I know, I'm trying to Pritchard this.
Even that version, like, well, AEW, why did Dustin have to put himself in?
Because
why didn't AEW... Because
all the Elite went off to the hospital with Nick.
So you reckon one of the Elite was going to be Paige's partner?
Yeah,
because
I guess
that's what AEW management told her. I thought, you know, for a promotion that really does have a fine attention to detail now, maybe not in the first month, but now they really do, it just came across as a bit of a... I don't know, it's a bit of a bait and switch.
Yeah.
I was
Some people are saying that apparently they said that Paige's plan was to go it alone. Paige. And also someone said, stop complaining.
That's fair enough. I just thought that this War Games is such a potentially huge thing.
I completely agree.
They might have given themselves too few weeks to build it.
Well, but have they?
Has been building a long time.
And like you go back, when was the Match Beyond promo? Like that was during Cody's feud with Jericho. That was like November last year. They have been teasing that they're going to do this War Games match.
Yeah.
So they have had this plan for a long time. So for it, as you say, to then give yourself 2 weeks to build it, kind of sucks considering you're building a 30-man Iron match for 4 weeks. And yeah, there is that argument that it's been building for 6 months. I get that, and I don't think that's wrong. But the actual match announcement itself has almost been left to the last minute, and I don't think it was the best idea to do it on Twitter.
No.
It's funny enough, like I was in a conversation with website WrestleTalk.com's Louis Dangor, Danger Dangor yesterday. because he hates the ranking system. Mm-hmm. Like a few people, they don't like the ranking system because to them it doesn't make sense. But every time I look at the ranking system, it completely makes sense because I tend to watch the YouTube videos that they put out. I watched the very first one when they first did the rankings and everyone told them it didn't make sense. They had an answer for everyone's criticism against the ranking system. So I looked at all of those and I'm like, okay, well, I understand this ranking system. But if you haven't seen those YouTube videos, if you didn't see Cody's tweets, if you didn't see other people's tweets about it, the ranking system probably doesn't make any sense to you because it's not a TV thing. They never on TV say, here is the ranking system and here's why it makes sense. So I can completely sympathize with people being like, yeah, the rankings make absolutely no sense whatsoever because I'm not watching all the YouTube stuff. That same principle applies to announcing matches on Twitter. Because if you're not on Twitter, if you're not on social media, you didn't know what the entrants of that match were until you watched their show.
Yeah,
and even then, really.
And we call WWE out for it all the time. So it would be hypocritical for us to sit here and say, well, this is totally fine. Mm. So I personally love all the guys involved. I love the stuff they did. I just thought there was this huge area that they could have made more effective as a part of it.
So
now, really, to me, Blood and Guts just feels like a match that's in 2 weeks. A cool match, but nowhere near the first ever cage match. Nowhere near that Iron Man match.
Yeah.
And it's freaking...
It's War Games. Yeah, right? And like, this is what Cody wanted. Like, that the AEW podcast that he did with Tony and...
Aubrey.
I was going to call her Girl Hebner because I couldn't remember her name. Like, that's what his big envision, like, his big plan is to just get all of Dusty's trademarks. Mm. Like, it's so funny him talking about, I can have all the super brawls that I want. I don't really want those.
Yeah.
What I want is Starcade. What I want is War Games because those are the ones that really meant something to my dad. Mm. Like, I was just trying to do all of these trademarks, so I would just annoy them to the point where they'd be like, oh, fine, have it, if you want it that bad. So War Games means a lot to Cody. So it does surprise me that it was just a Twitter announcement and then some graphics. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think you can troll the biggest troll in the wrestling industry, the WWE.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do some Patreon pledge hammer shout outs.
Indeed.
For our $25 a month or more backers. Thank you, Caught in a Travis Webb.
Nice, woo. Yes. I think he's talking to you, Damian Thompson.
Whoa. Liam Millsummer murders.
There it is. The real boss, Matt Robinson.
Oh, thank you. Flaccid Kraken, Joe Gianella.
Gianella. Probocop.
Probocop. The monster of own Patreons, Brian Strowman. Something's reported on me.
Harder than its bite, Sean Barksdale.
They drew first blood, not me. Grace Rambo.
Yeah,
cheers, Grace.
Vita Ventura, Pet Detective.
Woohoo! Former star athlete, now head coach, Lendell Branson. Thank you.
And lastly, one of the nicest men on the entire planet, the mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Dan.
What a guy.
Conestopia says, next week Kenny gets written off so that Darby joins the elite and other members will be Matt or Brody. The other is the exalted one, whichever one isn't the exalted one. I don't think so. I think they'll stick with the elite. I think that would be a bad idea as well if they change.
No, but yeah, I think they're telling the story that Nick's going in injured, Kenny's going in injured. You know, both of them were written off. Kayfabe written off TV because the Inner Circle beat them down. Kenny picked up his injuries through the Revolution match, as did Nick. And now Nick's been beaten up on TV and Kenny's been hurt even further. So not only will the baby faces be going in at the heel disadvantage, or their heels will be 2-on-1, 3-on-2, 4-on-3, but they'll also have injured members going in. So there will always be a big baby face disadvantage for them, which is solid War Games booking.
I've just thought, because Paige is like, you know, he could come in last. Where do his allegiances lie? I think he'll totally be fine. He'll be the babyface. And I just thought, two rings, Buckshot Lariat. Is he going to flip over the bit in the middle?
He's got to, right?
Or does he reach over? Very excited. Jobber JJ496. Happy anniversary, Luke. You want to explain that?
So yeah, so today, 5 years ago on this day, I posted up my first, I was on YouTube WrestleTalk for the very first time. I did the WrestleTalk news for the first time, back in like the old days of WrestleTalk, when I think you had done a video already, but like there was sort of like a rotating host of this daily news video. It's up there. It's about Samoa Joe possibly joining WWE.
Wow.
Fact fans.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so I did my first WrestleTalk video 5 years ago.
So back to Jobber JJ. Paige and Matt help each other and middle finger each other.
Love it.
Oh. Thank you. This story is so great. Looking forward to Inner Circle versus the Elite. B&G.
And again, I do feel like I'm in the minority here. I hate the name.
Celticus. Please give me more Priestley. Yes. And Nyla. Also, Swollen Baker. Yes, please. Marked out hard during that segment. Lovely time with the boys.
Yeah,
the women's stuff took a step forward this week.
Canon, folks. There are two concurrent women's storylines in AEW.
Josh DeDominics. I was really looking forward to going to AEW Rochester, but with Steve starting to run wild, the show has been rescheduled.
Has it actually been rescheduled?
Well, that's what they say.
All right, you carry on. I'm going to do quickly this because
Because of Steve Corino, a lot of stuff has been. That's a code word.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I saw Sean Ross Sapp tweet that it might be, but I haven't heard that it is confirmed to be moved yet, so I'll have a quick look on that. So
Phoenix, pretty non-eventful episode, but oh well, had some good wrestling, so can't complain, but death's breaking the great show streak AEW has been on. I think this was an average show.
Yeah.
And if this is average, bloody brilliant.
There's no official update from AEW on terms of the Rochester show being rescheduled, but there have been stories because the city of Rochester has said, if you're in a building of more than 50 people, then your event cannot go ahead.
Yeah.
And that was meant to be their big show because that was potentially going to be the debut of Brody Lee.
Yeah, the exalted one being revealed as well. Gabriel Caruso, I'm driving 193 miles to watch Blood and Guts live. I really hope that Steve Corino doesn't get the show postponed or cancelled.
Yeah, I mean, he's running wild, is old Steve.
Sorry, I've just seen the next comment. Zach Icon Lindner, Blood and Guts, what are the rules? AW, PowerPoint.
There you go. PowerPoint will tell you.
Josh DeDominics, Hangman wanted to go 2-on-1 to try and outdo Darby.
But why is he trying to outdo Darby? What's Darby done to annoy him?
Well, I guess from the I don't know. Yeah. I don't think that I'm asking questions and people can't come up with actual answers.
Well, apparently, Rick Havoc says, commentary said he didn't want to be outshined by Darby going in alone last week. But what is that? What's Hangman Page got? What's his beef with Darby Allin?
Maybe he's a bit jealous of anyone's success.
That doesn't seem jealous.
Aliot Ingelert, my feeling on Page. He chose Nick in the open, covered for the camera by calling it a mystery, so Nick was attacked. That's why Matt's pissed at Page. Now, Matt's pissed at Page because of the last 2 months.
Yeah, of everything else.
Yeah. New Age Entertainment. Any thoughts on the next 2 Dynamite shows being cancelled, as they are in New York and New Jersey? I heard that's one of Steve Carino's main hangouts.
Yeah, so it's... I mean, it's affecting everyone. There's stories that SmackDown might be, not cancelled, but it might be done at the Performance Center. Mm-hmm. We still don't really know what the status is on WrestleMania currently.
Well, like, we'll find out later today.
We're going to find out later today. You know, from many sources, WWE really want to move ahead with it, but it is down to Tampa. Mm-hmm. And it might just be that it's, you know, it's not cancelled, it's just postponed until the summer.
Yeah.
It's a summer WrestleMania, but, you know, then you've got to try and... It's incredible, really, how like wrestling is unlike any other sport. Because if a football game gets cancelled, it gets cancelled. If a wrestling show gets cancelled, it's like, well, what's your next week of storyline?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You've been building to this show for 3 months. And if your show that you had planned gets pushed back until the summer, you've then got to try and artificially extend those out by another 3 months.
Goldberg's champion for 3 months. It'll suffocate SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's I do love it when real life collides with wrestling, because the two worlds don't merge well. so this is interesting. Tragic, but interesting.
From both sides as well, because wrestling is like, ugh, real life. Get away. Yeah. Where real life is like, ugh, wrestling. Ugh, what is this thing?
But there's also like a weird fascination. Like, wrestling is also, real life. Oh, I want to be more shooty. And real life's like, wrestling. I'll be your president.
That was cool 20 years ago.
Yeah. Get on with the play-by-play. So
this show took place in Salt Lake City.
opened with that Paige Young Bucks interaction.
Loved all that.
Ortiz versus Cody was a cracking match. Yeah. It was like wasn't on the level of like Cody Sammy, but Cody's just a master at working with someone else. Still looking great himself, but making the other person also look awesome.
Yeah, and I love him coming out with Brandy and Arn. I really like the Nightmare Family seems to make so much more sense now that the collective stuff is done and dusted. But yes, I really like the Nightmare Family stuff. It's funny, actually, when I was listening to Gorilla Position reviewing Revolution, they hated the Cody coming out with so many people. They thought it felt like a really sort of big-headed thing. It's like, look how many mates I've got.
It's a boxing entourage. Well,
that was my argument as well. But I like that.
I like the fact they've got this.
Particularly then, because you've got with like Santana, sorry, Ortiz has got Santana in his corner, and during the 6-man tag later on, you've got the Bunny out there and Wardlow out there. And it's just like people have got their sort of like little mini factions. Mm. I really like that.
It augments the featured act, I think. Speaking of acts, it wasn't just these guys in and around the ring. Because Jake the Snake walks through the crowd with Lance Archer.
Yeah, Murderhawk himself.
So it is Lance Archer.
It is Lance Archer.
They announced 2 weeks ago that it's Lance Archer. Last week, Jake said, I've got a client. It's the same guy.
Yeah.
I liked all this. I just thought that, you know, if you zoom out and you look at the last 3 weeks, it's a bit like, oh, why don't you?
Well,
I wonder
if he was meant to debut last week. In fact, I'm almost certain now that he was meant to debut last week.
But why didn't he then?
There was a report. I can't remember what the report was now. Is why he couldn't make it. Someone will be able to let us know in the chat. I'll keep an eye on that. But yeah, there was, because there has been a bit of a disconnect with it. But I've also seen mixed opinions on this. Because I quite liked this.
I thought them as an act looked really cool.
But I mean just the actual debut of someone. Because I've seen someone, Trevor Dame, who's an excellent Twitter personality you should definitely follow, called it a wet fart of a debut.
Well, it's a bit harsh, I think.
Whereas I thought it's actually quite good because it's way different to all the other debuts they've done. Like AEW had the same pattern for all of their debuts, which is someone comes in and does a big attack on someone and then they pose and then they go, oh my God, it's X, Y, and Z. So I actually just have Jake come out with Lance, and they just go over, they just sit down in the chair, they look over and they're just watching Cody. Jake's giving him his advice, saying, look, this is what he's doing over there. This is the reason why he's doing this. And then at one point, Lance Archer getting up to step into a fight, and Jake being like, now's not the time, man. Sit back in your chair. So he sits back in his chair. And then afterwards, like, Jake's like, we've seen enough. Mm-hmm. Let's go. I thought it was actually really effective.
Yeah, and you, Lance Archer is a big name. Former New Japan guy. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, I think he won Most Improved last year in the Wrestling Observer Awards. Fantastic wrestler. But realistically, he doesn't have that mainstream name value, even to an AEW audience, where you can debut him as, oh, and here is the big debut. Boom, here he is. It's like, because people just go, oh, who's that?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, he just doesn't have the recognition. This way takes the pressure off. And you don't have that sort of underwhelming part.
You don't have the Butcher and Blade.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. It's Lance Archer. Yeah. And JR's, who?
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a good match. Little bit of interference on the outside. And Cody tapped out Ortiz in the figure four. I like that as his submission.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good as well, actually. I thought it was really smart as well. They worked over the leg to set that up, and Ortiz then tapped out to it. And as I said at the start of the show, sets up your blood and guts finish, not like, you know, telegraphing the finish, but puts over the fact that that match can only end in submission or surrender, which is what War Games always used to be before WWE changed it. And yeah, I think that's quite a nice thing to do. That shows that Cody and Arn have been working together to work on some submissions, because now you need to have a submission game going into this.
Yeah, really like it. And then there was the beatdown angle of Nick Jackson backstage, which was very realistic. Then we got Chris Statlander and Sheeta versus Bea Priestley and Nyla Rose. I was so happy to see Bea Priestley walk out.
When she got that match graphic, I was like, yeah, Bea's back. And actually, during this match, I'm like, this women's division has sorely missed you.
Yeah.
Really has missed you.
But like, you see these four in the ring. I'm like, I love Statlander. I love Sheeta.
She's so good.
Rose is a great monster heel champion.
Yep.
And Bea.
Yeah.
I have no idea why she hasn't been on TV.
I'm guessing Stardom.
Surely people can fly. Maybe not so much at the moment.
But it's the same thing with Riho, I guess. If you've just got like constant bookings over there, then it's going to be hard for you to get back and get across. I'm speculating here, but I'm going to guess that's what it is.
I think she's got such presence and such charisma, and her offense feels real in quite a unique way. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I think Priest is amazing.
Absolutely,
I remember when I first saw her. And, you know, she had something, but she was still very green and kind of in Ospreay's shadow, I guess. And, like, within 6 months, it was like, oh, no, she's here now.
Yeah.
So, really big fan.
I remember getting a text from my wife after she watched WOS. Like, she watched episode one of WOS. And the text message she sent to me was just like, B is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
She just, like, instantly, like, she's just got this presence about her. And she's like, I love her. I think she's awesome.
Yeah.
And my wife hates wrestling.
I'm always worried she's going to, like, beat me up, or take my lunch money as well. And I like that, weirdly.
Venomatrix. But yeah, I thought this match was actually a pretty decent tag match as well.
Yeah.
And what I really particularly liked about this is that although Nyla and Bea picked up the win, it really put a spotlight onto Sheeta in particular, being like, wow, Sheeta, you know, she's ranked number two, and this is why she's ranked number two. And she is gunning for Nyla Rose for the championship, but also there's Bea Priestley over here as well. And, like, you know, Sheeta nearly won this match on her own when Statlander got wiped out. But because the numbers game got the better of her, you know, she then got wiped out by the Beast Bomb. So the champion has pinned the ranked number one competitor. And after that match, Bea then attacks Nyla Rose and poses with the belt. So now you've got the number one ranked contender being pinned by the champion, which, you know, that sucks for her. But also this other person who doesn't really have a stake in the championship at the moment in the rankings is trying to establish herself and be like, I want a shot as well.
Yeah, really liked it.
It's a lot at play. I really liked it.
And there was a lot of thought that had gone into the spots as well. Just one in particular I'd never seen. Bea was draped across the middle ropes in the corner, and Sheeta suplexed Statlander onto her gut. That's cool.
It's really cool.
So really, really good stuff.
I also particularly liked BU's wicked octopus stretch.
Yes, and the rolling pin thing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, lovely shout out to Chris Brooks.
Yeah,
and the octopus stretch. Thought it was great.
Then we got the Dark Order infomercial parody with Christopher Daniels
really
pretending
good.
To be the guy who does all the Dark Order infomercials.
Yeah.
This was really well made.
I really like this a lot, yeah. You may remember me from such videos as it was Daniels being really, really good. And talks about how, hey, you know, Dark Order, you came in with a lot of promise. Everyone was really behind you. And then you came up against SCU and we knocked you out of the tag title tournament and things haven't really been the same since. And you keep teasing that there's this exalted one, but not seen any evidence. So I'm challenging you to singles matches. Singles match against Uno and Grayson. And if the exalted one does not come out during any of those singles matches, we'll know that he's made up.
Yeah, and then later on there was a graphic that said the exalted one will be revealed next week.
Yeah.
So, sounds like it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, that did strike me as weird because, as I said, like, you know, Daniel's announcing we're going to have these two singles matches. And he did say, you know, it could be on Dark, it could be on Dynamite, it could be on pay-per-view. Neither of those matches were announced at the end of the show like they usually do. Here's what's coming up next week. But there was that graphic that said, like, the exalted one's here next week.
Yeah, it should have been, will we get the reveal?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's it was a bad wording to create the suspense you wanted.
Surely the graphic I would have thought would have been Daniels versus Grayson.
Mm.
Will the Exalted One reveal themselves?
Definitely. The Butcher and the Blade and MJF took on Jurassic Express next in a really fun match.
Fun, just great, a lot of character work. Mm. I loved all the character work in this, particularly MJF being the dick bully heel that he is. You know, beating up Marco stunts,
and then
because he's beating up Marco stunt posing, Marco tags in Luchasaurus, so MJF then backs up and it's Luchasaurus like, oh no, oh, begging off. Really, really fun stuff with him. And boy howdy, Jungle Boy's hot tag was marvelous.
I love Luchasaurus so much.
Yeah.
I wrote in my notes, I wish Luchasaurus wasn't getting worked over. Because sometimes my Wednesdays are built around, I'm going to get to see a Luchasaurus hot tag tomorrow morning. So I was getting a bit grumpy, but he was taking the heat.
Your fave was getting worked
over.
Yeah,
I know. I was so worked. But then Jungle Boy is, like you said.
Yeah.
But I really liked Marco Stunt's tag.
Yeah.
When he hopped in, he went straight for MJF, and MJF's goofy, coward selling was perfection. So I really liked all this.
And Luchasaurus and the Butcher having their stare down Big Beef. Did you, I don't know if you spotted this, not my favourite moment of this match, but one that I've seen gift quite a bit. You see Luchasaurus accidentally kick Marco Stunt in the face as he was getting in the ring. So like Jungle Boy's posing, Luchasaurus goes to put his big foot over the ropes, but he just kicks Marco Stunt in the face, realises what he's done. He's like, oh, sorry, mate.
What are you going to see? It was,
He's so tall.
It was his birthday yesterday.
It was his birthday as well.
And the tweet announced it as 65 million years old.
Yeah.
So thanks to some distraction from both the Bunny and Wardlow, MJF was able to make Stunt tap with the armbar.
Yeah, so Bunny distracted Jungle Boy and Blade was able to push Jungle Boy off the top rope and Wardlow hit Luchasaurus with the diamond ring, the very well protected diamond ring. And that's how they picked up anyone with the Salt of the Earth armbar submission.
Mm, really good. Darby had a promo, just a short black and white short film thing that he makes. He puts a sort of guy wearing a Sammy Guevara mask in a body bag and then drives off with it.
Yeah.
Which was a bit uncomfortable because here in the UK, there's been a lot of news about that happened to a police officer a year or two ago in the courts of just, you know, found the two guys who did it guilty, and that's been in the news. But, you know, these things, they're not, it's not a slight. It was just, when I watched it, I was like, that's cool, but then we got the Britt Baker promo. Brings Tony coffee, as usual, Tony
spelled
Schiavone.
Wrong.
I love how Tony then takes the coffee and drinks it anyway.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, it was this week it was spelled T-O-N-E with a little thing over the top, an accent over the top of it.
So Baker just cut some cheap heat stuff. It was very effective.
Yeah, not a lot going on in Utah. You've all got bad breath, you've all got ginger fires. And then she pauses for a second, just sort of looks around, is like, God, you all look very familiar. I feel like I'm at one big, giant family reunion.
It was really good. I really liked when she said, you guys can follow your dreams. You can be janitors. You can be dental assistants. She's really good at being patronizing. Yeah.
And speaking of janitors,
yeah.
The boyfriend of a fake janitor came out in, the girlfriend, nearly got there. Big Swole came out to interrupt this to say, I mean, she didn't say this in so many words, but what she came out to say was, you talk too much. You never shut up. And Britt says, people only know you, Big Swole, because of your boyfriend. And so Big Swole pauses and then says, I'm married, baby. Insider jokes.
Cool, cool line, because Big Swole is going out with, married to Cedric Alexander, WWE superstar, main eventer. He's on the show main event.
I called him WWE punching bag.
Yes. And Britt Baker goes out with Adam Cole, baby. So I thought, great burn. Did get a good reaction from the crowd. But realistically, the majority of people watching, I think, are going to be quite confused.
Oh, yeah.
Because I only found out Swole was dating, married to Alexander, literally last week.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No.
And I would say I'm pretty tapped into the wrestling news.
It always reminds me, there's a bit in the Death of WCW talking about this, where there had been an incident where someone had got brought out a knife in a booking meeting in WCW. Or something. I can't remember, it was in the change rooms or something. And Nash does this part of his promo, on TV, to be like, you're going to bring a knife. And no one reacts. But so because no one reacted, he was just saying the line again to try and get the reaction out of the crowd. Because Vince Russo was convinced that every single person that watched Nitro was reading the internet and reading the dirt sheets and knew all of this insider stuff. Mm. And it's kind of lines like this where it's just like, this is appealing to the hardcore audience and the hardcore audience only. So if you're not part of that hardcore audience, if you just watch this segment blind, you've no idea what they're talking about other than I am married and I guess you're not.
Yeah, it is a weird one. It was a good line.
I just thought
maybe the commentators could have filled in the blanks. Maybe they did. Maybe I missed it. But the that just got me thinking. Surely Cedric's got one eye on AEW right now.
Well, this is the other part of our title. Some people are asking, hey, What's the deal with the title and the thumbnail not being the same text?
Well, it works better. Works better to get clicks. If we have two lead stories, people want to find them out more. But Cedric Alexander, as we saw on Monday's episode of Raw, was just there to get squashed, really, by Riddick Moss in the 24/7 title picture. You cannot get much lower. If you go any lower, you're Ricochet and you're on WWE main events.
Yeah, which I think Cedric has actually spent a large portion. Basically, he is someone that went to the Raw roster with a lot of promise, had that United States Championship feud with AJ Styles where he lost and got beaten by a drum a lot, beaten like a drum a lot. But then, remember he had that big dive off the stage? Through the summer, they were like, oh man, there's big stuff for, and he had that bit with Roman where he was the fake janitor and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then he was just essentially taken off TV. There were reports where that Vince had given up on him. And despite the fact that Paul Heyman wanted to push him, and that really feels like it's true. That was a very true report, because barely been on TV since. When we do see him, squashed by Riddick Moss.
Yeah, he was reportedly a Paul Heyman guy, but Vince just decided no. And ever since that date where those reports came out, Vince said no, he hasn't been around for 3 to 4 months. And it just makes you think back to that Cruiserweight Classic, the summer of 2016, where the crowd are chanting after Cedric lost his semi-final or quarter-final match.
Quarter-finals, yeah. Please sign Cedric.
And then Triple H comes out. Was it the next week? It was right there, wasn't it?
Well, they filmed it brilliantly as well, because all of that was stuff that wasn't really designed to be on television. They were just going to have Cedric lose. But the crowd reaction was such that they ended the show with the crowd chanting, please sign Cedric, Triple H coming out, giving the thumbs up to the crowd and walking in backstage. And that was how that show ended. It was an amazing, amazing organic moment. Mm.
And that was 3.5 years ago. Most WWE contracts are 3 years. If you go back to that period, of course, now they're 5 years plus, however long they can get you for, like a Scientology contract. But It just... Cedric's got to know now that he cannot go any further than he did in WWE than last year. You could go back to NXT, but is that a step back? I don't know. If I'm him, my wife is in AEW. AEW pushes people better and lets people have certain kinds of matches. I've got to think that he would want to move there. But I don't know how he can get out.
Yeah, no, it's...
Does he ask for his release?
Well, I think that'd probably make it worse, to be honest. I think you want to play the revival smart game of just staying quiet and just waiting for your contract to run out.
Oh, someone's just, sorry, super chatted. Anton H. Did you guys listen to Dave on Wrestling Observer Radio today? No, I haven't yet. When he said Wrestle Talk was only one of two magazines he purchases from the UK. We don't write it.
Congrats. but congrats to our Wrestle Talk magazine team.
Yes, definitely. I really want to see Cedric in AEW now. Maybe this was a sort of, hey, Cedric. I don't know.
But the biggest thing here is we've got two storylines in the women's division. That's two canon. That's two.
It's promising. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. Private Party and Joey Janela then took on the debuting Death Triangle. It's a cool name.
We won the poll. It's official now. It's cool. Pete, Laurie and Adam can argue all they want. There was a poorly worded argument. Like the poll was poorly worded. But history is written by the winners. And we won. So it's a cool name.
Just look at the Ruthless Aggression documentary series. You can make up your own history.
It's wonderful. As long as it's a really cool video package, you're like, oh, that is history, I guess, yeah.
And they've got this, that they kind of made a triangle with their arms before they started. There was a lot of thought from those three guys of their offense in Tress.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of Tress attention to detail.
Well, these three are wicked. You know, Pac's wicked, Phoenix is wicked, and Pentagon is wicked. One of my favorite parts of this match was JR. JR said, Pentagon Jr. is one of the most athletic men in the business. Like, he's an incredibly athletic man. But actually, when you look at it, he's the least athletic member of Death Triangle. And that's not a burial of Pentagon. What that is being like, oh my God, you see how good this guy is? The other two are like, are faster. That's not, how is that even possible?
It's almost a, well, no, not almost. It's a dream team.
It is.
It's what was that band that did? Cream?
Well, yeah, Cream, yeah.
Cream were a super band.
The Traveling Wilburys.
Traveling Wilburys also work, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was excited after last week. I was also a bit cautious because it does feel a bit like, you two speak Spanish. Here's an English guy to talk for you. But on this next installment, very, very much into it. And it was just a really fun match. Joey Janela got a lot in.
Yeah.
Did make me ponder, where have Private Party been?
Yeah, well, probably on Dark.
Go back to that tag team tournament. First round, they beat the Bucks. They got super over, had all that momentum. Where's it gone?
No, don't know.
So I think that's unfortunate. And they always get good reactions as well.
I really enjoyed them kind of modifying the gin and juice, because Cassidy had been laid out. So Quinn did the Hurricane Rana and Joey Janela caught them into the Death Valley Driver.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was really, really nice. Really they did good. The Death Valley Driver on the apron while using Pac as a springboard to do some dives. Really, really fun stuff in this. But then they hit the Package Pile Driver, what the Lucha Brothers did, with the Black Arrow for the win. And then they locked in the Death Triangle, which is a triple Dragon Sleeper, essentially. Like, so you're applying a Dragon Sleeper while your partners are also applying a Dragon Sleeper to your friends. It's pretty wicked.
Yeah.
I would say, because I know a lot of people pick up on this, and I do agree with them, referee do look a bit incompetent during Lucha Brothers matches because those two do not like to play by the rules. So you got the referee going like, during the Package Pile Driver, he's trying to count out Pentagon being like, one, two, you've got to get out of the ring, three, four. They haven't even done the move yet. He's like, hey, will you just...
Four again.
It'd be really grand if they do the move and then they drag over whoever it was so the Pack can do it. By this point, the ref already counts to 15 in his head. But he's like, it's the finish, but hey, you over there, you go out the ring now. So it makes Knox look like a div.
But after that, to run down for the save, it was the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. slowly walking down to the ring. And that, you know, that they sort of chase him off. And I cannot believe they have built such a genuine upper mid... No, not upper mid. That's a bit too extreme. Like a solid mid-card feud between Orange Cassidy and Pac. Because that's what this is. And it really harkens back to the best thing about Vince Russo. And that was in the Attitude Era. He gave the mid-card guys really good stories to work with and really fleshed out characters, as sort of stupid as they were sometimes. But at least the feuds and blood feuds felt really real.
That's it, yeah. The storylines might not have always been great. In fact, a lot of times they were a bit pants and do not hold up in today's light. But at least they had something to do.
Mm.
They were on... When they had pay-per-view matches, you were like, oh, there is a reason for this pay-per-view match because there has been 4 weeks of story to get me to this point.
Yeah, yeah, really, really, really like it. And so many Cassidy cosplayers in the crowd.
Oh, they love a Cassidy cosplayer, don't they?
And honestly, I love showing non-wrestling fans or lapsed wrestling fans Cassidy. I have yet to find someone who hasn't busted a nut laughing.
Yeah.
Cookie upstairs, who does all our merchandise.
Yeah.
He texted me this morning with an Orange Cassidy meme. Show you.
Please do.
There it is. Where is it?
Where is he?
There he is. It's a quote of Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can't climb the ladder of success with your hands in your pockets. And then Orange Cassidy, hold my beer, with a picture of Cassidy sort of leaping over the top rope with his hands in his pockets.
And they're going to be wrestling next week. We're getting the Best Friends and Cassidy versus Death Triangle. I'm excited. I am excited. Well, if the show happens, you know.
Then Dustin cut a promo backstage to Lexi, saying that he'll be the tag partner for Paige.
Whether you like it or not.
Paige is warming up. Bicep curls a beer barrel.
Yep.
It's very funny. Then they run a few submissions for the Search for Spears.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but I do know that Shug D, who's hidden behind our Firefly Funhouse was part of it.
Well, we should send one in.
Well, I thought that, but then I thought, is it going to look desperate now that they're starting to put them on TV? Like, if we'd have done it last
yes,
week...
Yes, we've missed the boat.
Well, I think we've missed the boat now, yeah.
And then they said the Exalted One will be revealed next week, which was Luke Harper's rumoured debut.
Is next week the show in Rochester?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then which goes the 18th, which would be the week before Blood and Guts.
Mm.
So, you'd assume that means Luke Harper's the Exalted One. That's fine.
It's not how I'd have done it, but yeah.
But I don't, you know, maybe Broken Hardy isn't the right one either. I don't know. And then we got the rules. Then we got a really good Mox interview.
Yeah.
Sit down with JR and just, yeah. This is what JR's brilliant at.
Yeah, absolutely, it really was. And Mox was just there to cut the promo to say, you know what, I'm not medically cleared at the moment, but I will be soon, and, you know, when I am, you know, I'm coming back for the Inner Circle, we've got unfinished business. It did feel like they were setting up Hager versus Moxley as the next title feud, which I'm slightly concerned about, because that feels very mid-card. But it was like JR was very, you know, direct in asking, surely we're going to see you versus Hager at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I don't know if Hager feels like a big enough deal to be fighting for the title currently. Mm-hmm.
I've also got one very nitpicky thing. Very nitpicky. I would have filmed this interview somewhere else. It looked like they were in a very, very fancy hotel foyer with a fireplace behind them. I don't think that's befitting of the character you've presented Mox as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He, you know, he's not cleared. I don't think it's good to show him relaxing.
Yeah.
He should be angry. That should have been in a gym. It should have been rolling around on the mats again and then, you know, in a sort of MMA training camp.
Yeah.
Maybe JR's talking to him as he's doing some punching
bags. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right on that one. It's interesting, although unfortunately the event's been cancelled now, the Scrap-a-Mania, the promo package that OTT released for David Starr versus Jon Moxley is... Oh, it's so good.
They do great video packages.
They really do. Mostly because they don't care about copyrights. They'll just use WWE footage and be like, yeah, it's fine. They probably won't notice. And
it's like Mexico.
Yeah, they use AEW footage, hoping that no one will really notice. But it's such a good promo package. It made me hate Jon Moxley. Like, it really did a good job making me go like, yeah, you're right, David Starr. He did sell his soul to one billionaire, leave, and then sign his soul to a different billionaire. I'm like, you're right. He's not independent, David Starr. You're right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm just going to show Luke something on my screen because we might, you know, we might have a cool thing to talk about tomorrow.
Oh. Hello, mate. Hello, mate.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Yeah, stay tuned.
And then we got the main event, which was really fun, but I kind of, I felt a bit cheated out of a better tag partner. Not that I don't like Dustin,
no.
But.
I read in my news, I said in my news, it makes perfect storyline sense. However, it was not the coolest reveal in the world.
Yeah. So, yeah, and we've already talked about that in the opening. I just love Paige bouncing off stuff. I don't think I've seen anyone bounce off ropes the way he does. You know, you throw him into the barricade. Twang, clothesline.
Yeah.
It's like he's made of flubber.
He has, man, what a difference half a year has made.
Yeah.
You look back to All Out last year, you look at him now, totally different. And I love that. Really, really love that.
So overall, I'll give this a 3 out of 5.
I think that's fair
average.
Enough. Yeah. I'd say that's fair enough. I'd have probably given it a high because I really enjoyed the in-ring work and I enjoyed the promos. Also, two women's storylines. That's a step in the right direction.
I think as AEW as a whole and the quality we've seen over the last few weeks, this is the average for them. And that's, you know, that's a hell of a baseline. And a big thank you to Tomo from Swathed Under, man in the super chats today. And we've also got Tucky Marcus, the best, Daoud, and the backup, which means she's probably in there anyway.
Yeah.
It's the mod mother, Jenna. She takes care of us.
She does.
I feel even though she's not here with us physically, makes it sound like she's dead. Even though she's not physically in the building with us, I feel like she's just bringing us cups of tea all the time.
Yeah.
Because she's just always there for us. So thank you, all the modding team. So let's get into your super chats. Mr. Undisputed, two women's stories or B&G competitors? 2 hours. Background competitors?
No, that'd be Blood and Guts.
Oh, Blood and Guts competitors.
So I think what they're asking for is, do you want more women's storylines or do you want them to spend time doing the Blood and Guts competitors? You've only got 2 hours to play with.
As much as I love the Jungle Express MJF one, why can't I cut something else that isn't those?
Yeah. Yep.
But if I had to, at the moment, I would have Blood and Guts stuff because that's the biggest thing in the promotion.
Agreed.
Dan Grunmeister, Matt Jackson versus Hangman Adam Page at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, and the singles match would be very interesting. Yeah, we will get a much clearer picture of Double or Nothing, I think, once coming off the back of Blood and Guts. So yeah, that is a possibility, but then you've got to think, are they going to be defending the tag titles? Like, where's Kenny in all of that? Or maybe Kenny's not wrestling.
Enix, AEW needs to find a way to do Lance versus Marco. That would be fun if Marco didn't botch like he has been a lot recently. Why Lance Archer versus Marco? Just because of the size difference.
No, yeah. Lance Archer's big, Kenan. Marco's done small.
Phoenix, B needs to be offered the title to get her to stay in AEW. She's got that much potential. Totally agree. I think she should be in the title picture.
Yeah, but I don't think she needs an offer to stay in AEW. I think that's what Phoenix is saying, that like they need to offer her something big to make sure that she stays.
Mm.
But she has got a huge amount of potential. She should be top gaijin.
Yeah. It's weird, like, saying she's got potential sounds like she hasn't already arrived.
Yeah.
In my opinion, she is right. Quite fully formed as of 18 months ago.
I was going to say, she arrived a while ago.
Rich McCann, who do you feel is underrated in AEW? Personally, I feel Luchasaurus and Butcher and Blade. Their tag finisher is amazing.
Yeah, Butcher and Blade are a funny little act, really, aren't they? Because they are a featured act, but never feel like they're really being pushed.
Mm. They're sort of C-level Batman villains.
Yeah.
But I'm always happy when I see them in a comic.
Nice, I like it.
Injection. Prediction, they won't reveal the Exalted One next week?
Well, I don't think they are, because otherwise don't announce two singles matches. Like, surely you would do it after the second singles match or during the second singles match.
I think that would be really unfortunate
if
they don't. They've been very good at not delivering stuff they've... they've teased, but mm-hmm. the last week I feel like they've fallen on the wrong side of that line.
I agree.
Phoenix again, Danhausen as Exalted One, and has a super serious Grayson and Uno getting fed up with Danhausen being a funny nut and not scary and serious enough. Could be funny.
Yeah, I'd rather.
I wouldn't put it as a comedy act. They're too, you know, it's an out there gimmick anyway. You don't want to puncture that. Pledgehammer Sawyer. I may have imagined this, but I felt like Penta barely did any Sierra Maeda?
I'm not even going to attempt because I just get it wrong.
Biggest heel of the night. to my head, he didn't. But, you know, he's more than made up for it in every other match where he does it about 80 times.
Oh, yeah.
I always pop for it. Eighth time in a match. I'm still going crazy. Stop it, Luke. You know, stop it.
I picked up a poster of Pentagon for our podcast listeners.
Over to you.
Oh, sorry. James Handley in the non-AEW related section said, never listen to the audiobook of the death of WCW and watch a wrestling show. Can't tell if the show was less quality than normal or if the book was making the mistakes more pronounced. I mean, I read Death of WCW for the first time in 2004, 2006 maybe.
Wow.
And it's just an absolutely one of those books you read where you're like, good, like this really has highlighted everything that was wrong with the company. And then they did the 10th anniversary edition, which I thought I'd lost to the great pigeon to catastrophe of the old studio, but it turns out it was on Ollie's desk. Who knew? He was propping up his monitor. The 10th anniversary edition is even better because that not only tells you all the great stuff with stuff that was taken out the original transcript with new interviews and stuff going in, but also has like a lessons not learned. Mm. Just pointing out how so many companies have made the exact same mistakes that this company that went out of business did. It's incredible stuff.
But don't think, you probably just went into this episode of Dynamite with a certain mindset. And this was subpar compared to the previous 2 months really, but it was nowhere near as close as anything in that book.
Oh, sorry, it's me, isn't it? Oh, I'm very bad at this. Smarty, Chris Jericho has said that the Steve Corino virus is nothing but mass hysteria. Do you think his opinion has any impact on any AEW's approach to the situation?
No,
not at all, no. I don't think that AEW believe Jericho that it's made up.
You see, is that actually what he thinks?
Well, no, he had conspiracy theorists on that were saying that it's been made up by the satanic government to... and there's been, like, Austin Aries was tweeting about this yesterday, saying, like, isn't it coincidental that it always happens around election years that these sort of viral outbreaks happen? And then said,
it
goes,
doesn't, though. the last one was in 2002, wasn't it?
And then said, what was the thing that really made me laugh? It was like, yeah, you know, it's obesity kills people. And it's like,
can't argue with that.
I know, but I was like, I don't think anyone is saying that this is the only thing that's killing people at the moment. Whereas a lot of these people are just like, this is the, you know, hey, loads of things. Cars kill people. Why aren't we banning cars off the road?
Cars don't exponentially increase.
Anyway, Felix Wolf, rather. I'm looking to start training to be a pro wrestler soon myself and was wondering if you believe age is irrelevant when it comes to starting training. I've just turned 27 this past Monday. Cheers. Absolutely frigging not. Do you know why? DDP. Didn't start his career until he was 40.
Incredible.
Neither did Batista.
Batista was a latecomer. He was 35, right?
Yep. Wreak Havoc, Kip Sabian, Sammy Guevara, Cedric Alexander, triple threat. Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. Tasty. Yeah. And slappy, that'll be.
And Austin Shrug, Joe. If you haven't yet, go check out No Rolls Barred. It's our wrestling D&D show that we're doing over on Parts of Unknown, which is also available as a podcast on all available podcast catchers.
Thank you, Austin Shrug, for chanting for the best character on that show. And your generous donation. Tim Arndt, are you guys worried that you may have to work from home in the near future? I saw that Cultaholic is starting to consider that possibility. Well, I came into the office today and I said to everyone, so from tomorrow, it's only going to be, because we can't make this stuff from home. So if you have a video to make on that day, come in and then go home.
Yeah.
So we'll only come in if we need for the video part of the day. Whereas, so that means, you know, you'll be home 3 days?
I think three
two days.
2 days
a week or
days.
Something?
Yeah. Yeah, 2 days. Yeah, no, 3 days because I didn't do any videos on Wednesday.
Yeah, so we're trying to do our part. I think it's now a citizen thing where you can't, you just, Yeah. So, what's it? Social, not isolation, but social separation is the biggest thing that's going to help right now.
Yeah. And I'd imagine my wife's going to be in the same position soon enough. My my podcast partner is, you know, he's gonna, and now his office is effectively shut down. I had a meeting scheduled for this current this Friday. We're doing it as a video call now.
Yeah, I think, I don't, because it's public transport that gets me. I cycle into work, so I'm okay, but I was thinking...
I'm on that tube for like an hour.
Yeah. So Ubers? We could pay for your Ubers?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. If we're going to do it, we should do it right. Let's talk about that afterwards.
Yeah.
Michael Dominguez. Got a massage and swear she had me in a half-busting crab. I knew when the wrestle friends appreciate that reference. Is Death Triangle a League of Nations, not US?
No, because the League of Nations was represented by lots of nations. And they were also a terrible act. Mm.
Forged by Gaming. Stupid question. You're now cast in a horror movie. Which wrestlers are your final girl or guy and your slasher? By the way, love No Rolls Barred. Thank you.
Do you know who it is? It's Butcher and Blade. They're my monsters.
Yeah?
Yeah. With Bunny as well. As this sort of like crazy House of a Thousand Corpses, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, slaughterhouse that you're trying to escape from.
Well, Bray Wyatt's the correct answer.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's always
but my comedy answer was going to be Samoa Joe and Wendy. The Age of Me, say no to Steve Corino.
Say no indeed.
You sound like Give Me What I Want, LOL. Yeah. That's the nature of reviews, right? I say what I want to happen.
Yeah.
You give your because it wasn't given to me.
Yeah. See, during our initial portion of this, I did see some people saying, I see the clickbait titles are back. But I don't think it's clickbait to ask a question. Hmm. Only asking the question. You feel free to disagree.
Joe Ray, Oliver Davis, bring forth your punishment video.
Yeah, where is that?
Well, I've got plans. Maybe I won't do the punishment video.
What?
Zornice, Joe is not a character. Joe is Ollie, emoticon smiley face.
I cannot recommend enough so this week's podcast, the episode 2 podcast with Adam and Tom doing the intro and outro, because the podcast got exclusive content. Them talking about the Golden Joe character, but because I've been editing it, the Patreon stuff, where those two are going into sort of like the booking of characters, is so interesting hearing them talk about the fine line between Oliver Davis and Golden Joe.
It's different. They're different people.
We had a bit of a viewing party yesterday of episode 3, The Regal Wrangle. It's incredible stuff. Hats off to Rich. Rich has done an amazing job.
And just last minute super chat, Gordon Maston says Dynamite cancelled next week because of Steve.
I'm going to check this out because there are also people in the chats that are just saying WrestleMania has been cancelled when there's not actually an announcement of that yet. People are just trying to wind people up in the chats.
But we will find out about that today, probably.
Indeed. Again, there's been no official announcement from AEW. I'm going to do a quick Google of it. Rochester.
Well, and thank you also to RJ for Nips O'Dell for our last super chat there. Thank you, everyone, all so much for tuning in today. Has AEW been canceled?
Well, okay, according to this, next week's edition of AEW Dynamite in Rochester has been rescheduled due to the recent coronavirus. The event was originally scheduled, blah, 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 blah. Ticket holders will have the option to request refunds. I wonder where the source of this is. All Elite Wrestling is expected to make announcements shortly, including details of how they plan to present the show. So there's no source given on that.
AEW's Twitter account?
That's what
WrestleVotes have tweeted, Connor Matthews is saying.
Okay. That's what I was looking for. So WrestleVotes said, have they?
WrestleVotes, Twitter, I'm on it. Oh, wow. Apparently Vince McMahon is at the Tampa Bay meeting right now. This is personal opinion, but postponement is the leading choice.
Of WrestleMania, yeah.
Discussions, nothing about AEW.
Okay. So, I mean, have a Google around, people, but, you know, make sure you're checking where the sources are coming from. AEW have not made an official announcement.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, we can't say anything until.
Yeah. Uh,
had this email in from Andrew, who says, "Hi Luke and the gang, hope this email finds you well. I just wanted to share with you guys an embarrassing interaction I had on Twitter with my favourite wrestler of all time."
Oh no.
Zack Ryder. Brackets, no seriously.
Oh, wow. I mean, I like Zack Ryder. But he's your favourite of all. Every each to their own.
Hey, man, maybe he was really on that Z True Long Island Story train, you know, 10 years ago.
But really?
No, seriously. He continues. "I've always been a huge fan of Zack since his days back as the Major Brothers in ECW. The Edgeheads, his partnership with Rosa Mendez. I've always been a fan. Fast forward to the greatest Royal Rumble at Saudi Showdown. I remember watching and having an time, but I kept waiting for Zack. All 50 slots came and went. No Zack. There were people I've never even heard of or have never seen again, but no Zack. I was livid. How the hell could WWE not use him in this? They had people from NXT, so why not Zack?"
Yes.
"So I went to Twitter and I ranted, 'Are you kidding me at WWE? 50 slots and no at Zack Ryder. What the actual hell?' I left this alone for a while, came back, and saw I had over 100 notifications.
What?
I made a difference. Nope, it was Zack responding, 'I got hurt Monday, chill.' I felt so embarrassed. How did I not know that my favorite wrestler got hurt? I don't know, probably not a big deal, but it's always something that stuck out to me. I've attached a photo of the interaction and a picture of me as a kid doing the LI finger signs." And he has indeed attached an interaction there.
There it is. "I got hurt on Monday, chill."
Yep, and there he is doing the Long Island IC pose.
Well, with is that frosted hair as well? Slightly blonde fleckled hair?
It's certainly like a blonde fringe. I don't know if it's frosted tips though. It's certainly not Michael Cole in 1999.
Well, what is it your anniversary? Why is it your anniversary? Is it your jobiversary?
It's my jobiversary.
Ah, sorry man, I didn't get you anything.
That's quite all right, mate. I just have it as a to-doist.
Every year.
Every year to be like, this is when you did your first video for WrestleTalk.
Oh, congratulations.
So like back in the old days when we had like the really busy backgrounds.
I don't think that counts.
What? Well, it's my anniversary of my first video on WrestleTalk is what I'm counting.
I think because your true anniversary is soon.
It is actually,
We did the
Ramble.
Yeah, the first ever.
That WrestleTalk.
Don't say it. So, on top of all the exciting things we teased in the intro, there is another exciting thing happening next Friday, a new show that we are making, and someone not in the office gang said to me, or we could call it That Wrestle Talk Podcast.
Yeah.
And that cut so deep. I didn't know the joke had travelled beyond us. It was the coronavirus.
Which we can say on this show. We won't get demonetized.
Well, we hope not.
Because Pete made that joke. And we were like, Pete, office insider banter. And then you were like, yeah, funny enough, someone else made that exact same joke.
Mm.
It's traveled, man.
Mm.
Shall I read out the email that we got in from Sanchez that you actually responded to? The one that said, best tag match of all time.
Yes, very interesting take. Yeah. And it's always... it's always good to keep the grand scale of history in mind.
Indeed. This comes in from Sanchez, who says, hello, Ollie, Luke, and the rest of the team. There's a lot of you now. You may remember me as the guy that came up to you at the Frontline WrestleGate show before your live podcast to thank you for the opportunity to write for the website, although Ollie probably remembers me more as the guy that kept his student ID in his phone case.
I do actually remember. I don't know why I picked on that.
In fact, I'd go as far as to call... I emailed in for the first time today because of a match I feel keeps getting overlooked. Since Revolution, many, including Ollie, have been saying that Omega and Paige versus the Young Bucks is arguably the greatest tag match of all time. So I watched it on the way to uni, where I usually listen to your podcast, and was disappointed. In fact, I'd go as far to call the match the inferior version of the Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks, which I consider to be the greatest tag match ever.
May I ask a clarifying, repeating question there? Where did they watch it?
On a bus, on the way to university.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't specify, it just says on the way to university.
Some form of travel that isn't being in a driver's seat. Mm. Or maybe it was. Maybe he was watching it illegally out the corner of his eye.
Yeah.
I know someone who did the entire, second season of How to Get Away with Murder in traffic jams. They would press play, they put it in the sort of little bit at the bottom of the dashboard. But yeah, okay, I'm going to take that little detail and I'm just going to put it in my back pocket for when we get to the end argument of this.
Yes, okay. Aside from the AEW match having identical spots as was in the New Japan match, Kenny and X's You Cannot Escape Moonsault combo, Kenny's partner saving Omega from the Meltzer drive by putting one of the Bucks through a table, I felt the Golden Lovers match had a more unique and emotionally charged sequences than the Page match, e.g. Matt Jackson sacrificing the last move on more bang for your buck to dive on Kenny, Kenny refusing to hit the one-winged agent on his friend, but Matt literally forcing his hand. The Golden Lovers match had more complex story as well. Rather than focusing on a will he, won't he turn of Hangman Page, the New Japan match saw the four wrestlers have their own internal conflicts. This video pretty much sums up, if you haven't seen it in a while, it's a video that's about the match itself. I could gush on all day about this match. My question is to you, do you think the recency bias is making people think of Page and Omega versus the Young Bucks more favourably, or do you think this match had something that Lovers versus Bucks didn't? Genuinely curious, because obviously I prefer the New Japan match. Sorry for the super long email. Thank you for your consistent content.
Very well-written and argued email. Mm. And some stuff isn't for everyone. People have different opinions, so that's the main takeaway here. Your subjective experience was different to ours. But that it is curious, because it sounds like this is very much in your groove. Like if Louis Danger Dangor, our website writer, said, that tag match wasn't for me. I go, I'm not surprised, because all you like is NXT.
Yeah.
Which is kind of similar, but you know, these are different characters, different story. So it is weird that you were so into the Golden Lovers stuff and not this, because they're both absolutely fantastic. I mean, there's daylight between them, really. And your argument of maybe it's just recency bias is definitely potentially a case. Although Dave Meltzer, and it's hard to argue with Big Daddy Dave when it comes to completely objective wrestling opinions, went back and rewatched what he considers to be the two other greatest North American tag matches.
Well, he had said initially it was North American and then expanded it and included the greatest tag match that he'd ever seen, which I think was from All Japan. And then had essentially, like, there was one from the 70s, and then there was one from the 80s, there's one from New Japan, from All Japan rather, and then this match, and sort of compared all four of them together, I think.
And he agreed this one was the best.
Yes.
But it really, really is daylight between them now. It was just when you said that about watching it on the way to uni, how did you watch the New Japan match? Because sometimes it's so much about you, what you bring to it. If you're watching something or reading something on a bus, I would argue you won't have the same intense experience as watching that at home on a big screen.
I completely agree with you. Also, I've just done a little bit of research there while you were monologuing. Everyone has always criticized Dave Meltzer for having Kenny Omega and New Japan bias. So I looked it up. That match that he is referring to got 5 stars from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, whereas this one got 6 stars. So by Dave Meltzer standards, it wasn't as good as a match. However, my argument, I suppose, would be for Sanchez is, if you were more emotionally invested in the Golden Lovers versus Buck storyline than you were the Hangman Page Matt Jackson storyline, then yeah, you are going to think this for other matches better. For me, I'm so invested in this Hangman Page versus the Elite story, that for me, that the Revolution match was the better match. Not to take anything away from the Golden Lovers match, because it is absolutely incredible stuff. But I was not as invested in that storyline as I am this one. So that match is going to appeal to me more.
And it's because there's that weekly TV. Mm-hmm. You've been getting doses of this on sort of cliffhangers every week. You've lived through this story for 4 months now?
Yeah.
Whereas as much as I love New Japan, they don't have that same kind of schedule. So I'll watch pay-per-view, road to pay-per-view. I get so confused with what they're doing. And then, this match that's kind of nebulously been building, sometimes on a Thursday, sometimes on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's different to when you've got a more appointment viewing build to something.
And perhaps I am projecting this onto Sanchez, but I have seen this from fans. I've done it myself, in fact. If you love something so much and then instantly someone comes in and be like, this version of it's better and it's a very similar version, you are going to get very defensive of the thing that you like and fight the corner of that even more to be like, no,
this is the best version of that, not the new version.
Yeah, but still,
an excellently, excellently argued.
Totally your opinion, Sanchez.
Absolutely. I wanted to have a quick clarification from Matt, who said, I just wanted to send a quick email to clarify that when I mentioned the payment link to the Wrestling Histories podcast in my previous email, that was back in the day when it first went behind a paywall. I haven't seen a link to it since on your website. Thought I'd better email to clarify, just in case Ollie dispatches Andy or one of the WrestleTugs to look for the link on the site that doesn't exist.
Sorry, can you repeat that? Because I've just seen that my holiday has been cancelled. Real-time reaction, folks. You usually just serve this for YouTube.
Oh, mate.
Is it fully cancelled? My lady partner's just... So we were going to go to Vietnam on April 16th for 2 weeks.
Which we were kind of joking about in the office.
As of 11th of March, which is yesterday.
Which was yesterday.
There is increased disruption and restrictions on British nationals visiting Vietnam. British travellers to Vietnam report uncertainty about the impact of these new restrictions, even for those with valid visas. Crap. Well, we don't need a visa because we are under 30 days. You need a visa if you stay longer than a month, you see. Someone actually commented on our video yesterday being like, I live in Vietnam. This coronavirus stuff is crazy, but the government is properly on it. Mm-hmm. They are just deep cleaning streets. If you've got a symptom, you'll be put into hospital. So they're very on it. But, you know, if we get ill, I don't particularly want to be in hospital.
Yeah.
You know, I might feel fine, but because I have it and I'll be contagious, I'm then quarantined in a foreign country. Oh, dear.
And I really don't want to be that guy at this point, but we do have to go live in 5 seconds. So
okay.
can you perhaps put this into the back of your mind for an hour while we do the AEW stream?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, mate, that is devastating news.
Oh, well.
I don't want to sound like a callous-hearted bitch, but, like, I'm sorry, man, but we do have to go and do a show
let's
now.
Let's do the show.
Okay, well, you know, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Maybe there'll be a bit more of an update on Ollie's travel situation.
Sorry we didn't get to that person's question.
I haven't deleted the email. We'll get to it tomorrow. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the magazine show. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.